Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. This is attempt 5 at this fucking intro, and it's not even going to be that long because I've got nothing of any interest to say, it turns out, from attempts 1 to 4. One day I'm going to put out all the prequels to these intros and so people can see like the lost tapes or something like that. Anyway, the fact of the matter is this isn't getting any better, this intro. But today's episode is with Jordan Stevens, who you will most likely know from Rizzle Kicks. Who is working as Al the Native now. He's got an album coming out very soon. Loves his hip-hop. He's very passionate about it, as passionate about the direction that his music takes, and we talked about that just a few days ago. And this podcast brings you the return of Roomage, his first post-baby podcast. So it's nice to have him back. My album recommendation for this week is Royce da 5'9", Life of Ryan. You will know this album because everybody's been banging on about Caterpillar, this tune with Eminem, which loads of people have sent me to punish me, I guess, or to have a go at me about the fact that I've been shit on an Eminem on this podcast recently. Not recently, I just thought the car park freestyle was overrated and I thought his album wasn't good. And so loads of people have sent me this track going, I fucking told you, man, told you. So, yeah, he does spit fire on this track. There's no denying that. What I would say is the fact that he does spit fire on this track makes the fact that he hardly ever does that on the album all the more painful. So there you go. I also want to take this opportunity to thank people that have sent emails to the Hotmail account. We got loads, and I am going to, I think, I was originally going to like talk about them in this intro, but I think what I'm going to have to do is do a little secret. It's not going to be secret. It's a little bonus episode where I just talk about the emails because loads of people are sending me recommendations and stuff. Please keep sending stuff. It's great. To romesh88@hotmail.com. That's romesh88@hotmail.com. Okay. Jordan Stevens. Royce da 5'9" album recommendation. Return of Roomage. I hope you like the podcast. Goodbye.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, cause it's time for the podcast.
Welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. What episode are we on, Roomad?
I don't know, because I've been away for a while.
56. You have been away, mate. And the reason you... Thank you, Jordan.
Sorry.
We got Jordan here. We'll introduce you. Well, Jordan, you can talk. You can talk. I did say talk if you feel like it, but he's fucking absolutely twatted his way straight in.
He knows what
right
episode it is.
Right off the bat.
He knows what episode it is.
Roomad.
Yeah.
The reason you've been away from the podcast is because... You're a dad now, right?
I am a dad now, yeah.
And can you inform the... I told everybody that you had a boy called Ramesh.
Did you?
On the last... Obviously, you don't listen to the podcast that you're not on, but that's what I announced. But obviously, that is bullshit now, because can you furnish us with the requisite information?
We had a girl called Martha, which I quite like.
It's a very nice name. It's a great name. And how has fatherhood treated you?
It's good. Yeah, quite tired, but...
Is Martha sleeping through?
She is, actually. My partner's put her in a good routine.
Hold on, how old? 7 weeks?
7 weeks,
and she's sleeping through?
Yeah. Well, no, she'll wake up at 3.
Okay.
By sleeping through, are you guys referring to sleeping a whole night?
Yes, correct. Yeah. Sorry, Jordan's you've actually still got your best years ahead of you, so you're not in this situation. Rupert and I are just waiting to die now.
It is an obvious eye-opener, though, isn't it?
Are you ever tempted to just give the child a little bit of alcohol?
Hasn't got to that, but
that is a good.
I've heard that they do that.
I'm not saying I would. I'm just intrigued.
I let my oldest kid try Prosecco for the first time.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, because that's like middle class.
Yeah.
It's good to have you back, bro.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Are you enjoying being a dad? Is it?
I love it.
Do you think you're going to be good at it?
I think so. Yeah. But it's sort of you're at that stage, aren't you? Where there's not much you can do as the man.
No, you're useless, actually.
Yeah.
In fact,
I do feel a bit like that.
Yeah.
sort of occasionally.
I'll tell you what I found fucking mad. And sorry, Jordan, because you haven't had a kid, but you know.
No.
But you can chip in on this. Whatever opinions you've got, feel free to. But
I had a Tamagotchi once.
Okay, there you go. So you can relate.
It is very similar.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah.
So when a lady has a baby and she goes to the maternity ward, men are scum in that whole area. So I
didn't get asked my name until after the birth. Yeah, from
they
the called,
they just, mate, the whole time I was there, they just referred to me as Packy Number One. That's the NHS for you. It's
unbelievable. Untrue.
I know, I'm Sri Lankan. Doesn't make sense. No.
Yeah, that is.
But they do like that. They said, I remember like when Lisa first had our first kid, and then one of the nurses came in, do you want a cup of tea? And Lisa went, I'm fine. And I went, I'm fine too. And she looked at me as if to say, you thought I was fucking
you don't
even thinking
there,
about getting you a tea?
Yeah.
Penis
it's
on legs.
That vibe. Yeah.
Goodbye, reproductive organ.
You did cause that.
Next.
Yeah.
When I was born,
yeah.
The doctors thought I had jaundice, and then my mum just told them I was mixed race.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Are you sure that's not true?
100% true. 100%
true. Jesus Christ.
My mum had to show my dad so they didn't diagnose me with it.
Wow.
That's
also, apparently.
How do you know that you haven't got jaundice? You've assumed that it's. You might have had jaundice
this is a bit
your
deep,
whole fucking life.
This is a bit deep to start with. Actually,
also, yeah, go on.
Word on road is they picked me up. My mum's last name was Bolting,
yeah,
and she was in the hospital next to a boateng, like a real life boateng.
Yeah,
that family do politics in there.
Yeah,
and they picked me up as a boateng, and my mum had to ask me back.
Wow.
Oh my God. Is this true?
Hospital.
It's another fact story.
You have this way of delivering stuff. I've got no idea if you're telling the truth.
It's the truth. Yeah.
They thought you were
also,
a jaundiced baby.
I fell asleep on my birth canal as well, for real.
You fell asleep in your birth canal?
Yeah. I was chilling.
Oh my God.
So it's a bit mad, really.
Yeah.
But it's all true.
So anyway, listen, congratulations.
Thanks, man.
I'm very happy.
Happy days.
A lot of people are asking. I went to see Ocean Wisdom in a week.
Oh, was he asking, was he?
He wasn't asking. No. I didn't speak to him directly. Yeah. But a lot of people are asking after you. There's a lot of podcast fans in there.
Really?
I say a lot, three.
Ah, okay. Well, that's
nice. One of them was my brother. Okay. But people were asking after you, so.
Thanks, guys.
And a lot of them going, is he Asian? Still people
still
think
still saying it.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Anyway. You're not.
No, just jaundice.
Oh,
wow. So we got Jordan. Jordan, how are you doing, mate?
I'm good.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for allowing me to come
on. Are we referring to you as Jordan? Because you're about to release...
Yeah.
You're working on a new album.
I've got... Yeah, so basically what happened is Rizzle Kicks happened.
Yeah.
And I've been Jordan from Rizzle Kicks for a minute.
Yeah.
Jordan Stevens being my full name. Then after Rizzle Kicks, I made this band called Wildhood, which is like me and my dad and this guy Tommy, which is like not, it's like probably the antithesis of Rizzle Kicks, I'd say. It's like funky grunge.
Right.
And then I realised I didn't have a rap name and it kind of bugged me.
Yeah.
Al the Native is a play on the word alternative.
Nice.
So I thought that encapsulates my vibe. Mm. And here we are. So I've released like two songs. Yeah, don't chat shit about me. Couple heads calling me a bounty. Bounty on your head for that level of respect. I'm a coconut because I hide raiders around me. Yeah, I raiders around me. Suppress play. I don't want to cross circles. You squarely hate man for trying angles that played me on stations. End game. Yeah. I can sense hate, I'm a sensei, what? With a sensei, that's my best mate. I trust Josh on my life, you'll be out of mind quick if his head shakes. The reception's alright. I've done a load with this producer called Pete Cannon. I actually did record a song with Ocean the other day. Ocean is someone I grew up with.
Pete Cannon's wicked, man.
Right, you know Pete, yeah. So I've made like 30 songs of him,
right.
Basically. We both have ADHD though, so finishing those songs and putting them out is effort.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool. It's like me singing and rapping, not... I wouldn't say I'm going for like a kind of pop thing. It's just like more old school than it has been. I don't know, it's a bit weird.
When you did Rizzle Kicks,
yes,
were you going for anything then?
Like, yeah, Jurassic 5.
Is that right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, the pop thing was an accident actually. It like and a beautiful one at that. But like it was. It, yeah, J5 was the point at which we decided that was the kind of hip-hop we wanted to represent.
Right.
And, like, our first demos were of that ilk. Mm. A lot of Brighton hip-hop producers like Tom Caruana and like Heinze Heinze and stuff, we were using those sounds in Gizmo, all these guys, they've given us these like horn heavy kind of breakbeat samples, and it was Dag Nabbit from Foreign Beggars. You know, I bought a beat from 50 quid in Whitechapel to Chumpets, but then obviously we remade it and made it all large and that. But yeah, that was it. We were going for a style of hip hop that was from the golden age.
Yeah, we had Charlie Taylor from Jurassic Park.
Did a song of him,
and he was saying that they were
dope.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. But he was saying that they were trying to, when they came out, he used to go and do like freestyles and stuff, and they're all about trying to keep it clean and stuff like that. And Jurassic 5, it's a weird one.
Oh, what, like no swearing?
That was the rules at this free, but then I don't think they were going for anything. They're just like, it was like they were trying to kick against what was coming out of the West Coast at that time. Do you know what I mean?
I feel like it was just a thing of, we were quite, I remember just being really happy.
Yeah.
And I think because I lived in London until I was 11 in Neasden, which is like a proper shithole.
Yeah.
And like when I moved to Brighton to go to secondary school, I thought it was great. Like I remember thinking like, this is lovely.
Yeah.
And like grime had just properly popped off.
Right.
Like 2003 or 2004. Mm. So I used to go to the youth club and there'd be like these grime sets. Yeah. Like, I actually remember like being genuinely too happy to be there. Like people were like, you know, you don't want no war. And I think the best line I came out with was, I leave your boys running like colours in a whitewash.
Right.
Which was still quite, it's chore based. But anyway, I was quite upbeat. So I thought, why not? I'll just rap about other stuff like you know, school and having fun and on grass.
Nice.
Not actual grass. And anyway.
Yeah.
But like, so yeah, and then me and Hals just did that together and then it popped off really. And that's, I think, what that was our lane really, was just being happy.
Right.
Or happy-ish.
And do you think that's why you became so successful? Because it did sound like when you guys came out, you didn't sound like anything that was out at that time.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a month. My whole life changed in a month basically. It's really weird. It was like July 2010. So we went into the charts like 144, and by the end of it we were 8, and we were 8 for like 2 months. It was mad. So suddenly life was like boof. And I think the doors had already been opened for rap to be digested.
Yeah.
Like indie had kind of died properly by this point, and then like Chipmunk had come through and Tinchy, and like people were open to rap. And so then when we came along, I think we were not only rap but like less threatening, as kind of like politically frustrating that is to admit. That was almost like a colorism that we benefited from, almost like a reverse prejudice.
You're like a cuddly version of the culture,
you know what I mean? We get a lot of people going like, I don't normally like hip hop, but
I
like you lot because I'm not scared of you basically.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, yeah, like, well, you should listen to what I listen to.
You might be black, but you could be jaundiced and it feels safe.
Yo, not far for real. But like I'll always hold that as I personally love how far that got us though, because to the same extent of it being like a bit of like a access granted by maybe us being mixed race or just being less threatening or whatever, they're also, we were doing these hip hop gigs in like corners of England that just like I never, and I remember you get tweets and who we were next to. So the basis of both our albums are hip hop.
Yeah.
The singles are pretty poppy.
Yeah.
But like there's not one tune that isn't like a break beat me rapping and hardly singing. And these people were buying like singles by really, really, really poppy acts who were there for like 2 songs, disappeared, da da da. And then us. And I remember thinking, I kind of rate that.
Yeah.
So I mean, it'd be like The Wanted and like 1D's first single and then Rizzle Kicks. And I'd be like, they are in this place like Folkestone or like Inverness. I remember I did a gig in Inverness. Hip hop hands, like, and I was like, if I can spread that vibe, maybe I'm a gateway. And then they can start getting onto the real hard stuff.
The weird thing about that though is you obviously, like from what you just said, you've come at it from like a hip hop background or whatever.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're thrown into like
into
being alongside pop stars and shit like that. I sound like I was getting emotional though, just I got a slightly sore throat. But
you're right too.
Yeah, so yeah. No, but
it is emotional, man.
Yeah, it's touching.
Life's hard.
Yeah. Well, the question is that's a weird thing, because like when you started doing it, you're doing it from a hip hop perspective. So I imagine in your head you're thinking, I'm going to be performing with hip hoppers, you know, I'm going to be performing with these rappers that I love and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're thrown into this thing where you're performing with like alongside The Wanted or whatever.
Yeah, mad.
That's a weird thing, because that wasn't obviously you're aspiring for success, but you're not aspiring for that side of it necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah. By the time I really realised what was going on, it was too late. Do you know what I mean? Like, I remember when we released Trumpets, it was kind of like we had an underground love as well. It was like, and a lot of the grime artists and everyone who I loved, they were like backing it. And I was like, oh man, this is mad for me, you know? You might hear me make a record like Wilson, because I love summer, no Rachel Wilson. Yes. The winter will come, we just have parties inside, it's still fun. Pump this, we're banking. Chase your boyfriend, let's have him. We're rowdy, girls make a judgment cloudy. But when the sun comes out, we're still alkies. We don't want to be lousy. And then I made amongst my peer group, I made a controversial call of jumping on the Ollie Murs track.
Right.
Because I like him. He seems nice. I've heard all the X Factor people, he seems nice.
Yes.
But I just knew it'd get number one. So I literally, me and Harley had a conversation where we're like, obviously it's not great in terms of where our positioning, that he wants to nick a bit of our cool, as it were. That's literally. But I knew it'd go number one. And at the time we did get a number one, and we were number eight. So it was like quite a big thing for us to do that. And Ollie is a lovely guy. But it was like those moves, and then Mama Do the Hump, that was produced by Fatboy Slim, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that was like a massive moment. Mm. We made that like way before it came out, but when we were working around that, it was like, oh, you know, but because of how successful it got, the song, you get moved into this other field now.
Yes.
Where it's like suddenly you got this catchy song and people don't mention the fact that it's a Fatboy produced tune or anything like that. And
I do feel, I'm not just saying this because you hear that, but it's not like you didn't come across like some people that had like were cynically going for the, I mean, I know what you're talking about with the Ollie Murs thing.
Oh yeah, that was the, but that's only one, that's
but you didn't come across as like guys that were trying to cynically grab that, because it wasn't like there was loads of sort of poppy hip hop acts before you guys turned up. I mean, British pop, so it's like, it's kind of true. That's what you do. Do you know what I mean? Your sound happens to be more accessible.
It was commercial.
It's like when you like chat to like, you know, comedians. A lot of these mainstream comedians, it's not because they thought talking about this is what's going to get me like loads of stuff. It's just that this is what I find funny. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah, totally.
It's like, it's just how it is.
But so. And also, I think actually that was I then became victim to that mentality, because I say victim, but I then directly battled the pop scene on that basis, because when it got to the second album, I was wanting to do more like mid-tempo stuff, and I just started to, you know, feel things.
Yeah.
And I was like, and then I was more opinionated. I was just growing up, basically. Do you know what I mean? When I got famous, I was like 19, so I was like 21, and I was like, oh, I've got thoughts now. Like, I want
to properly. How difficult is it to still be a good bloke? Because like at 19, like I always think if you get stuff that young, then it's difficult to not become a prick.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that very
hard?
I
probably would have become awful, yeah.
Yeah.
I think like I had a reasonably good set of people around me, but it was like hectic.
Yeah.
We lived in this flat called The Dungeon, me and Harley and two of our mates, and I literally sold a pilot of writing about it. It is mental. When
really?
We were at peak fame, we were renting this place in Islington. That was just
living the dream.
Carnage.
Like, really?
It didn't even have a living room. It was just pure carnage. Like, it was like these lives colliding was hilarious. My mate was in art college, my other mate was working for like a yacht. He's a great actor, actually. A yacht and private yacht and plane selling business.
Wow.
It was just this weird cauldron. But anyway, yeah, what I'm gonna say is when it came to us in the second album, people were like, you now have to make an effort to keep up with what it is.
Yeah.
You know,
you've got to emulate
evolve.
What you did before.
Yeah, emulate slash evolve with the new like stuff was getting more dancey.
Right.
I just didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And then it
who when you say you're told you've got to evolve, who's telling you that?
So I made a couple of like, I knew what I wanted to do with the second album, and like the difficult second album is reminding people that you're like new.
Yeah.
And I was literally, I was like, I have an audience now. I want to show them the real hip hop I love. So like, it's more hip hop-y the second album.
Yeah.
And like, I want it to be a coherent package. I was doing skits and that. And they're kind of like, yeah, but you need to be like, boof, you know, you need to do something. Because a pop star and a musician are two different careers.
Yeah.
And we were stuck in between the kind of act that has like 2 years off and comes back. Because we were Smiley and that, we were more expected to be part of the machine, just like more singles, more songs, more albums. So when I say that, I mean, I remember I overrode a couple of decisions to put particular songs first, and I got Pete Cannon to produce Lost Generation, and it was all wicked. But then when they weren't getting the figures they wanted on the basis we had a platinum selling first album, then they started saying to me like, oh, you need to get this here and there, and then maybe me was like, no.
So with Al the Native, are you sort of, what is it, what kind of music you're doing with that?
Al the Native is like, I know, I'm just like rapping and singing. It's part of me, it's poppy in that it's got choruses.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I've given it, I don't know if I wanted to really look at things, go, I want to get back in the market, I think I'd give it a different, me just having fun with Pete basically.
Right.
And getting some cool people on it, like Mav, I've done a tune with Maverick Sabre and like Heems from Das Racist, Sweatshop Boys. That just mates I'd known who I really love, and this girl Bobby Johnson, who I saw at a cypher in Brighton. She's amazing. Ocean, I did a little thing with him. We'll see what happens with that. So it's just like a fun thing.
Wicked. Look forward to, when is it coming out? You don't know?
I don't know when the album's coming out, but there's a couple of things. If you're typing out Al the Native on Spotify and like YouTube and that.
Have you set up your own label to release it? Or
I've got a thing called Bad Colour.
What's that?
I wanted it to be a movement, which was actually trying to push the notion of critical thought, and then I found it quite difficult to do as a main thing, and now Kanye is kind of going on this whole free thinking vibe as well, so like it was but it's fundamentally what I wanted is a collective of creatives, right. So that everyone's kind of doing but that's my one.
So you're into critical thought, are you?
I'm into the idea that when we are maybe distracted from using it,
right,
but actually the more I think about it, maybe the less I care. Bad Colour, I was just trying to say, I was trying to create a movement that would be a positive influence on youth culture, basically. But that would be my label, and I want people to work for it. If you want to come and work for Bad Colour.
Me?
Yeah, because you're working... who are you working with now?
I'm working with Tom Davis, friend of the podcast.
Massive guy.
Yeah. Now fuck him off, mate. Go work with Jordan.
I'll go Bad Colour, I'll tell him on Monday.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, man, what's your favorite hip-hop album?
So we need to talk about how you got into hip-hop. But I want to talk, before we talk about that, I want to talk about your favourite album. Because basically, when I saw what your favourite album, hip-hop album is, I got super fucking excited.
Yeah.
So can you tell us what was your favourite hip-hop album?
Pharrell Monch.
Mate!
Desire.
All she wrote on a quest to qualify for these inquisitive quotes. Quirk ass MCs be as queer as folk. Talking about nigga can rap. No shit, Sherlock. Y'all MCs can't see me like Matt Murdock.
Pharrell Monch.
We nearly had him on this, didn't we?
We did, but he pulled out later on.
You know, I did a remix for a Rizzle Kick song with Pharrell Monch and Charlie Tuna on it.
Right.
In fact, the lineup was Pharrell Monch, Pro Green, Ed Sheeran, my mate Hinesy Hines from Imagineers Brighton. Yeah. Dr. Syntax, Pav from Foreign Beggars.
A lot. A lot of people.
And Charlie Tuna, yeah. And it was like one of the greatest moments of my whole life.
Stay with my grizzle, spit spittle, swivel, and with the rizzle kicks, never fizzle. Will not spit gibberish, riddle me this. Ah, forget about it. Hit him with chest, touch of love a little bit. The monsoon, competition is simply drizzling, whistling dicks. Miss me with that, you will get just a whip. On to November, simmer down, remember my Memorex, cause earthquakes, tremors, T-Bow, then you flash.
One of the greatest moments. Were they all in the same room?
Listen, right, check this out, yeah. I've hit the Donny up on Twitter. Yeah. This is my favourite artist ever.
Okay.
Like, top five. He's hit me back like, yo, I heard of you, Kaz. I was like, already going nuts. Mm. Yeah, this is like a massive, Desire's a big influence as well.
Do you know what I would have done? I promise you, what you need to do, you need to put the phone down and just go and masturbate and come back.
But do you know what?
Because you've got so much shit going on there.
Do you know what I mean? He, because he always used to tweet, go and say, "Oh, Fiddlesticks," right?
Right.
And I'm there going, "Listen, our name is Rizzle Kicks. He finally gets to multi-syllab with Fiddlesticks."
Yeah.
Like, if that's not a reason in itself.
Yeah.
So I spoke to the guy at the label. I want to get Pharaoh on it. Da 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 da. I'm in the studio, bro. I get my email. It just has a Pharaoh Munch Dreamers remix, and then just an attachment. I see the attachment. I'm like, "Don't do this to me, man." And I open it up in the middle of a session, and I press play, and it goes, "Hey, actually, I'm a Grizzle. Spit spittle swiveling with the Rizzle Kicks." And I literally, this is not, and I'm not exaggerating, I threw my headphones on the floor and I ran. I ran as far as I could, because I couldn't. And then I got back to the headphones, right? Just amped myself up.
And you deleted it.
He's going to say Fiddlesticks. And he goes, "Oh, whatever, Fiddlesticks." And I was just...
Oh, my God.
Mate, it was amazing.
That's sick, man.
Yeah, so but that album, Desire, that was...
Why do you like Desire more so much versus to his others?
Because it was introduced to me by, like, my family, by my mum and her friend, Andy Oliver, and it was just very eclectic in its sound, you know. And I've been brought up already on kind of a bizarre array of music, like Nirvana and like Beck, a lot of trip hop, Portishead and Sneaker Pimps, and then actually Gangstar and De La Soul. But when I heard Desire, it was like he had this unconventional flow, and I was aware of Simon Says, but it was just like this whole, the choruses and Push was like,
I know.
I think, and still to this day, still to this day, it has my favorite, I'd say maybe favorite 8-bar ever, which is in, is it Let Go?
Mate, that tune, I honestly think that's the best tune.
Oh my God.
It's Black Milk, isn't it? I think it's Black Milk produced it. It's
really?
Fucking unbelievable, that song.
Light 'em up, fire 'em up, fire 'em up, let 'em blow. Yeah, I mean, but he says, they researched my stem cells, cloned 10 of me, sent one of them back in time just to get rid of me.
That's your own definition.
From having verbal epiphanies, now that's new definition to your own worst enemy.
Oh my God.
That, I'm hearing that and just being like,
there's another line where he goes, "He can rap, no shit, sure, like you MCs can't see me like Matt Murdock.
It's fucking, mate, it's so good.
Yeah. It's so fucking good.
And also, what's the one with the asthma at the start? The raps like Star Wars. Yeah. Except only the stars dying, there's no sequels. What is that? As a dopest
it's
first
so
lyric.
Good, man. I love Pharaoh.
So yeah, I'm glad you like the album.
Mate.
But massive, because of the production and the singing, and he's also got a great singing voice.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love him on... do you follow him on Twitter? Obviously you do.
Well, not so much. I don't really go on social media so much anymore.
Oh, do you not?
No.
Because Kanye West.
That's good for your mental health, man.
No, I mean, that's literally the only reason. It started to really fuck me up.
Really?
Yeah, man.
I've started getting to this habit of fucking cunting people off on Twitter, and it's not
I used to
good.
Love doing that.
Yeah, but I just don't...
It's quite fun.
I don't mean going on the offensive, and if somebody says something, like somebody...
If someone says something negative to you, you're...
Somebody tweeted me... Well, I just get... There's a lot of... Somebody tweeted me... I said something like... It was like a really innocent tweet. So basically what happened was I was just having a really hungry day at home. And like I was going to order a pizza. And then I thought I'm going to have a sandwich instead. And then I ate that sandwich. And then I was still hungry. So I ate another sandwich. And I was still hungry. So I ordered a pizza. So it's like a fucking ultimate fuck up. So I just tweeted that. And then somebody tweeted me back going, "Well, you can't get sandwiches or pizza in Sri Lanka, so fuck you, mate." I'm like, dude.
Fucking hell.
What the fuck has that got to do with
they
anything?
They never thought that until they'd seen your tweet.
That's amazing. I used to do that on match days, on football match days. Yeah. I just used to send out, like, when Rizzle Kicks were, like, when we were everywhere.
Yeah.
I'd just be like, "Man, you suck."
Yeah.
Get people coming back who followed me, and the racism, it was funny. It's be like, "Oh, what do you know, you fucking monkeys?" Be like, "Whoa," it's Jesus. Like 0 to 100.
Because
I said, "Man, you suck."
I know.
It's very exposing of people's fragility.
Yeah, I did like this football's funniest moments, and I said something about Steven Gerrard falling over.
Oh no. Oh, that was awful.
And then
Recently, he lost the fucking Premier League.
He said, "This does not slip," and then he slipped, and then it's fucking beautiful.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
In terms of life,
the greatest scheme of things.
Yeah, it's
beautiful.
It's but for him, horrible.
Yeah,
and for Liverpool, horrible. And then I know when that show is repeated because I get death threats from Liverpool.
Really?
Yeah, it's fucking mad.
Rack your brains.
give it some thought. What was the first hip hop album you bought?
Okay, what was your first hip hop album?
Right, there's two. I bought a tape cassette of Big Willie Style.
In my now, remind me, what tracks does Big Willie Style have on it? Is that?
Oh, I don't know. I want to say Miami.
Here I am in the place where I come let go. In Miami, the bass and the sunset low. Every day like a Mardi Gras. Everybody party all day. No work, all play, okay? So we sip a little something, leave the rest to spill. Me and Charlie at the bar running up a high bill. Nothing less than ill when we dress to kill. Every time the ladies pass, they be like,
I think it was his first big album, yeah. I feel like. But it was like, I bought a Fisher Price tape machine at a car boot sale.
Right.
And it had wheels and a bus.
Yeah.
It came with it free, man.
That's great.
That knocks, man.
Yeah, for real. So yeah. I wanted to add to what was already an eclectic bad boy collection. And the first two, I bought Slim Shady. This is actually in my corner shop. I bought My Name Is on tape cassette and Big Willie Style. They were just by the Pokemon cards.
Right.
So, and I remember as well, because I used to bump My Name Is, and my mum, I think that's one of the few times I'd maybe heard something before my mum, because normally she puts me onto music, and she was just, she's quite surprised. I mean, I don't know. I was like, hi, kids. Do you like violence?
Yeah. It's really weird.
Or maybe I bought it in response.
It's very difficult to remember what it was like to first hear that song.
Oh, man.
But like, that...
My mum had to explain to me what the Palms Too Hairy to Hide line meant. I didn't understand.
But like, the chorus, just his style was so mad on that song.
I know.
It felt like... At that time, it felt like I'd never heard anything really like it. Do you know what I mean? It was fucking...
It was quite very unique, yeah. Maybe I've seen him and then I bought it. I don't know. But like, Big Willie Style was...
Big Willie Style.
Technically the first album.
Getting Jiggy With It.
That's the one.
Getting Jiggy With It.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah. Getting Jiggy With It is the song that when you go to a party and they're not playing hip-hop... And then you ask them to play hip hop. Yeah, they don't normally wedding, play Getting Jiggy With It at a wedding or some shit.
Yeah,
like
I mean, it's classic.
Then all the hip hop
Will Smith is underrated. I'm going to go and say it right there.
He is underrated.
And do you know why? Because who's really bodied a tune like Men in Black 2 though?
Yes.
Like he, not only did he come with a flow delivery and multis, my man also explained the film without spoiling it.
I know. Not only did he body the track, he bodied the franchise, because that film was shit.
It's coming back, isn't it?
Yeah, it's coming back.
I auditioned for that, actually.
Did you?
Yeah, Tom did as well.
Yeah, everyone. I went in going like, wow, I get to be part of the legacy. Oh. And then I saw like Phone Jacker walking after, Kaivan, Novak, and I was like, I just don't have a chance, really. I'm in with literally every comedian in London. So.
I was like, I didn't even get the fucking call, man. Listen, I know this is a hip-hop podcast, but I got to talk to you about Rogue One, man.
Yeah.
So how did that... Did you audition for that?
No.
What happened?
Mate, I just got put in it.
This is your fucking life, man.
Isn't that a joke? Mm. Nah, bruv. I thought it was a joke. You have to understand this.
Yeah? Right.
So basically, I remember I got five missed calls from my agent.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't happen. It was weird.
Because you normally answer.
No, because usually they don't care that much.
Right.
They'll be like, ring me up like you've got an audition, and if I don't ring them back, they're like, I mean, you're lost. But yeah. they're like, wrote five times, like, oh shit, what's going on? They're like, yo, got to sign this NDA for this film, Los Alamos. And I was like, okay, cool. Signed an NDA, went and worked in a prison, and I only say this because I had to have my phone in, so I was like, you know, did this whole therapy thing. Came out, and I must have opened this thing, and like the fucking lines of dialogue had like Darth Vader and that, and I was like, I actually fell off my bike. I shouldn't have been doing it at the same time, but I was cycling and reading, fell off my bike, rung up my agent and was like, yo, like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And they were like, what do you mean? I was like, this is Star Wars. They were like, oh, do you want to do it? And I was like, yeah, what do I need to learn?
Right.
She was like, no, they want you on Friday.
Wow.
So I fully thought the piss was getting taken out of me, basically, until I saw Riz. And I went on set on Friday, I got given an induction. To this day, I'm still a bit baffed. But about a week into filming, like, or for like bits of days, this little woman came up to me and was like, hey, Jordan, I cast you in this film. I saw Glue and I love Rizzle Kicks, so...
Jesus Christ.
And I was like, fuck it. Yeah, that's what I felt. I was like, that is mad that you did that.
I just fucking...
I know, mate.
I buzzed for you.
Yeah. For real. Although it was quite this. One time, I'll go into all the stories, it was quite something. But the one that was quite funny, basically, because I turned up and given an idea of the stress that happens in these situations. I turned up, right, and I'm left-handed. And I did a tiny part in a show called Last Panthers.
Yeah.
And it was hell. Like, I had the... And they were just, like, freaking out, right? So I went up to the weapons guys at Star Wars and was like, look, straight up, I'm left-handed. Like, I just want to let you know it's before. And they were just like, oh, mate, oh, you left-handed, that'll be fine, son. I tell you what, you just hold it in one hand, don't even put the strap on. You just hold it in one hand, everyone else is going to be holding it with their right hands and that. Like, you look, you stand right out, mate. It's actually good that you're left-handed. Yeah. It's good. You don't have to worry about it. So I was like...
So you're thinking, fuck, I'm going to be like the star of Rogue
One. I was like, mate, I'm going to run around with them. Yeah. I'm going to get a close-up going like...
Bucka, 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 fuck
you. It's going to be like a Star Wars slash Boys in the Goddamn Hood.
Yeah, yeah, sweet.
So anyway... didn't happen like that. So we got into this rehearsal scene and I'm there like, and I've got to squat up and down. And then there was just this like, stop! Stop! And then I was like, what? And he goes, Jordan!
Oh no.
Why are you holding the gun so fucking weird? And I was like, I'm left-handed. He's like, oh great! He's left-handed. Somebody show him how to hold a fucking gun. And I was literally just like, oh my days. And then the guys and the weapons came over. And they were like, oh mate, I'm so sorry. I was like, just don't worry about it.
But that's, I think this is fucking amazing.
I know, it's mental, yeah.
Oh man. Hip-hop grapes.
What do you not like about hip-hop?
I just think like, at the moment, it's I think there is a particular disregard for lyricism at the moment.
Right, what has made you, what, is there any, is there,
yeah,
any...
you know what it is, it's like, I don't want to be, you know, I try and pull myself up on maybe being a bit elitist or like anti-live and let live, do you know what I mean, like why does it matter?
Mm.
But sometimes I do catch myself and think like, mid-noughties, mate.
Yeah.
When Ludacris was pop.
Yeah.
Punchlines, bruv.
I know.
You know, like... CEO, you ain't got a CID. I'm young, wild, and strip like T. Like that kind of enigmatic, like lyric based punchline stuff. I used to love it. And now, if you are someone who enjoys hip hop for lyrics, you have to search now. That's literally all I'm saying. You have to like dig it out. And it's not. And sometimes I think you could just say something a little, like just a bit more. But that's that. I'm not sure if I agree with myself. But if I was to have an issue, that would be...
Yeah, it's a difficult... Because we've had this discussion a fair bit on here and about, like, you know, obviously you've got, like, mumble rap and all that kind of thing, and then you've got, like, you know, people not really doing multi-syllabics on trap and shit like that. But I don't know.
Multi-syllabics just isn't a thing. Well, Royce and Eminem dropped that tune recently, which was dope.
Oh, my God. Have you heard it?
No.
Mate, it's so dope.
You've not heard it? Catapult?
No.
Royce is holding it down for the scene, you know.
Yeah.
Don't you grade me next to these rappers, baby, that's degrading. My style got so many different facets, I switch into so many different patches. I'm skipping class to be fascinating. My pen is like Big Ben, this shit just a classic waiting. Your favorite rapper come at me, I'll just decapitate him. Out here congratulating these half-mans who had their highs. These rappers only one they matches because they strategize. I bring adequate to these patterns and here's my battle cry.
Well, actually, because have you listened to the album?
I've heard the songs he's put videos to.
So the Royce 5'9 just put out this album.
He's dope anyway.
What's it called? Book of Ryan, I think it's called. But he also did an album recently with Primo.
Yeah.
Because like they did Prime and then they just did Prime 2.
Yeah.
Which I listened to. But I think this album's better than Prime. But the Eminem. I said that we talked about on this podcast that Eminem's albums, his latest album is not all that, right? So I got fucking slaughtered by people just going, you don't know shit. Eminem's a fucking
shit. Which album is that?
This latest one, I don't even know what it's called.
With
Walk on Water on it.
Is that the one with Ed?
With Beyonce.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, there's a lot of
there's
cameos.
Beyonce. Walk on Water's Beyonce.
I've been a fan of Eminem for a while, and I find his new delivery really difficult to listen to.
Yes. Well, that's what we said. Well, I didn't say. Well, I wasn't a fan of the latest album, but I love Eminem. Like, I love him, right? And that's what makes it more difficult to sort of like, if something's not like what you're hoping for. And then I got sent the link to this track when it came out, like so many times from people going, how'd you fucking like this? Eminem can spit, suck on that dickhead.
Oh, well, you're happy,
yeah. But the thing is, all that does is it serves to prove
that he,
how much more upsetting that album is. Do you know what I mean? Because it's not, he's still got it in his locker and he's chosen not to do it. Do you know what I mean?
Looking at Attila, the psychopath, the killer, the caterpillar.
Don't tell me when I'm supposed to rap until, especially when your favorite rapper ain't even half as ill as ever. Still attracts a banana peel, attack at a silverback gorilla. You're having a little trouble fathoming this is actually happening, like Anderson Silva back when he snapped the shin in half and then had this shit hanging by a flap of skin after he tried to plant the shit back on the mat again.
And I know that he, like, he's talked about in interviews and he talks about in his songs how he's under pressure to develop and evolve as an artist, and it's similar to what you were talking about earlier with, like, you know, Rizzle Kicks or whatever.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you just want people to make real hip hop.
I think it's just like, it's good that Royce brought it out in him, but I will say though, just to back my point, like, because I have heard this discussed, I'm accepting of the change for sure. I just sometimes, like, it does baffle me a bit. Or like the kind of egocentric notion of it. So like, I just remember a time, and I don't know if this is indicative of our time of social media or just our relationship with consumerism, materialism, but like Tribe were not rapping about the set. They had stories, but you know, it was a different vibe. Obviously, Public Enemy was probably the last, what I feel like, not last, but protest music.
Kind of. Yes.
And then like Miseducation of Lauryn Hill would be top five albums for me ever. And that ability to communicate in an empathetic way with like a community and structured in a way questioning social, like, I still haven't heard, I would even go as far as say artists, not even just female artists, to make something that culturally, you know. And I don't know, I get frustrated when I see old videos of Lauryn like rapping live with the Fuji. She's ill, like, that is ill. She sings rap, it's like, it's incredible what she did. So sometimes it's that thing of maybe it's a bit Philistine. Cardi B, I've been bumping her album, right?
Yeah.
There's something about the venom in which she raps, and she has this like brutal honesty that gives me that same vibe. So I do, so when that happens, I go, it still exists.
Yeah.
It still exists. It's just yeah. I don't know, but that's the only thing I would get. And also, Cardi's obsessed with money, but she's very open about it.
You know? Well, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because you feel like, Catherine, do you know Catherine Ryan?
Yeah.
So Catherine sees Cardi B as like ultimate sort of feminist icon. Do you know what I mean? She just doesn't give a fuck.
Pasco came
on the podcast, and you won't have heard it very much because you weren't on it and you don't listen to the ones you're not on. But she was sort of saying that they sort of respect her for that, and there is something. I guess I am guilty of hypocrisy, right? Because on one hand, I'm saying that we should not be looking to music artists for like guidance or information or whatever. Then at the same time, when I hear hip hop that isn't conscious or has a message to it, I'm like, what the fuck aren't they?
No, but it's different. That's not political. It could be political.
Yeah.
But the reason I suppose I cite things like Ludacris, yeah. It's because if you are going to be ego materialistic, you can still do that and be quotable. Do you know what I mean? I think honesty is important. Truth is important. And there's a responsibility, I think, for a culture or a genre that is kind of like a diary of life.
Yes.
To maybe do something in a way of creating something other than an accumulation of stuff.
So is that something you're thinking, you're conscious of when you're making your stuff now, that you want to say something more than the usual? Or?
What I think is quite funny about me, if I think about it, is often I question myself. Like I probably should do it less. I've actually told to do it less. I should be more like, this is what I think. Mm. And I sometimes do it in music, but then I instantly go like, I'm not sure if that's what I think. But I have lived a life where like I've financially and like experience wise and all this kind of stuff managed to kind of live in a lifestyle at points that is like bragged about. I personally can't do it. I've actually tried. A couple of times I've done little punchlines about this and that, but I always think it's funny with me where if I go, oh, I've got to rate my ego, like da 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 da, for whatever reason I find it quite, I don't know how to do it. I know how to do it, but my one is more about like, oh, I you know, like my thing's more about intelligence. and it's silly. I was talking to my friend about it the other day and I was like, yo, you know, when I talk about being smart and that, like, am I actually being quite like offensive to people who maybe haven't or don't want to particularly read a bunch of books, or we don't want to, like, there's not interesting to them. They're more about feeling, like, I rate that. And she was like, yeah, but Jordan, you know, you've got to brag about something, like, and if you want to brag about, like, like intellect you can, because they'll be bragging about the fact that you haven't got these trainers and that. So it's I don't know, it's a weird one.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, when I write stand up, you sort of think like, I'm interested, but my favourite stand up sort of say something as well as be funny. And so you sort of try and do that in your stand up, but what I've managed to do is one, get the issue wrong, and also not be funny enough. So it's a bad combination for me.
What I want to do really is just target people who are just like losers.
Right.
That's what I think I'm missing a trick with.
Yeah.
If I confidently talk to losers, because I'm a loser, that's the thing. Like, I think if I wasn't one, I would have done different things with my money.
Right.
When actually I've never, I mean, my trainers are knackered. Like, I just kind of wear, like, my mate gave me this jumper. Like,
right.
I do spoil myself sometimes, more for the fact of spoiling it. But, like, I live quite a, I'm not very lavish, you know. I've done well, but I'm not very lavish.
I'm just looking fucking furious right now.
Yeah, for real. And, like, I know, but it's the thing of, like, I wonder, like, what? How do I feel? What do I want? I speak about feeling like a bit of an outcast. I've always been a bit of a misfit.
Yeah.
Sometimes in a lot of these records, I get like little flashbacks to being like 14 and just like not understanding things fundamentally, or not getting trends.
Yeah.
Not even like I was trying to like challenge them. I just didn't understand. So I kind of wanna like be like, yo, where are my people at who like are not that bothered about following shit.
But I think you've got to try and just, I guess you just got to be yourself, haven't you? But like,
that is
difficult, I guess.
Yeah.
Rumi, do you find it difficult, don't you?
Well, I can relate to this, yeah.
Yeah. Like he's doing a hip hop. He's doing a hip hop podcast. He's not really into it. You know, there's all these things that, all these struggles that he's doing.
You'd love, yeah. Well, that's the vibe. That's the gang.
Yeah,
that's true.
His kind of thing.
I am being hip hop, but
he hasn't heard about anything in hip hop or life. No, I'm joking. I've just got a bit. I've really fucking put the boot.
That's deep.
Yeah. We're almost out of time here, but what are you listening to at the moment?
I'm actually listening to Nines' album.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you know Nines?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it's like... Yeah, he's just like from Stonebridge. I don't know which part of it. He's from Northwest London, basically, but he's a really nice guy. And he makes like quite hood music. Packs on the trolley, this rap shit's a hobby. I got hairs, but I still catch me a buddy. The streets know me for getting pee. My daughter had her first rollie when she was free, I caught a little case, that's a slight loss. Call my lawyers like Harvey and Mike Ross. And me and Scraps couldn't give a fuck about rap. Can't even know we're nice, we're just always in the trap. What I like about it, the reason I've been bumping it so much, is the production's actually dope. And he's honest. If I'm gonna hear someone talk about money and like and the life they live,
yeah.
I mean, I know Nines lives that life, and sometimes he comes out of these lines which are like, whoa, like it's quite raw.
Have you seen this video of this comedian talking about how he's got beef with Nines because of his album cover?
What, crop circle?
What is his album cover?
It's like a crop circle, but it says Nines, like it's his logo.
Right. He actually did a massive crop circle.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it was quite dope.
It was wicked. But there's this... I don't know who the... I'm sorry to the comedian who is the guy who it is that I can't remember your name. He's the first and only... I think he went after Anthony Joshua as well. But on this Nines thing, he said that it's a bit of a tenuous one, but I just watched it the other day.
Yeah.
That he went to Lidl to get Special K or somewhere. You don't get Special K in Lidl, do you? They've got their own knockoff. Like, they've got Special A or whatever.
Yeah. Alternative Brexit brand.
Yeah, like Challenge
K-A-Y.
Mentally Challenged J or whatever. Anyway, so Special K.
Mentally Challenged J, that's just triggered me big time. Did those get called that as a kid? It's got some mad flashbacks there.
MCJ.
Yes, yeah. So, next week.
He said he went to Sainsbury's to get Special K, and they denominate, they'd run out. And apparently they use wheat to make it. I'm crucifying this bit. And they use wheat to make it, and he says that Nines has obviously been wasting wheat trying to make his album
cover. Oh, it's a joke.
Oh, yeah.
Jordan.
Circles don't actually destroy the wheat though. They just bend
when
them.
This guy was doing this bit, I am pretty convinced his response that he was hoping for is for someone to go, oh, it's a joke.
I didn't. No, I did. I thought he said he went at him.
But you sounded.
I didn't know it was a bit.
Oh yeah, sorry. I should have told you. But you sounded so sort of disgusted and disappointed. Just,
no, because I was excited. I was like, wow.
Oh, it was an attempt at humour, was it? What's your favourite breakfast? We need to wrap
up. Oh, this is a new section.
Yeah. What's your favourite breakfast cereal?
Granola.
Granola?
Yeah, mate.
What type of granola?
Homemade.
What?
No, not by me. Wait. No. There's this woman who makes it. It's nuts. Wait, you know that?
That's the logo.
You know that granola with the old woman on it. Oh, I don't know, man. There's just this nice.
Old woman
on the granola.
All right.
Weetabix.
Weetabix.
Mm. I like that too.
How do you have your Weetabix?
Three of them, sugar, milk.
Three?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That's big boy.
With sugar,
little sprinkle of sugar. Yeah.
Do you eat them when they're quite hard, or do you like to
let it go? Let it go.
What do you mix it into, like a gruel?
By the end, yeah.
Oi, I rate that. And then the sugar sinks to the bottom because it's heavier, and you get to like scoop the little bit of the sugar on the end of the spoon, and you're like, what a delight.
Mm.
I remember that when I was a child.
It sounds like you remember it from like 10 minutes ago, mate, the way you're describing it.
Yeah, no, it's pretty...
That was pretty fucking deep. The reason I'm asking is because I just read this thing recently that cereals aren't fucking vegan.
Why would they?
What do you mean? Sorry, are you excluding milk?
Before you put the milk out.
I was about to say that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Wow, Rob, you're surprised.
Exclusive.
Milk. I've been eating Cocoa Pops with milk and bacon, and apparently that's not fucking vegan. I've just discovered. No, apparently they've got sheep's grease in.
Sheep's what? Sheep's what? Grease? Sheep's grease? What is sheep's grease?
What is what is vegan, really? Come on. What is vegan?
So apparently...
Vegan has to be flexible, though. Like, just by definition,
I think.
Dude,
why are they putting fucking sheep grease in breakfast cereal?
Because it don't do anything. Grease? It's greasy.
What is that?
You know what sheep is, right?
Yeah.
You know what grease is? Yeah. So apparently there is grease on the wool of a sheep that they put in cornflakes.
How do you get that in...
Why is that not vegan? Happening? It's just grease.
Because it's come off a fucking sheep,
bro. But it's grease.
Yeah, but so what? They're rubbing sheep on cornflakes.
Yeah, rubbing sheep on cornflakes.
Because apparently there's something that's derived from that sheep's wool grease that is like a source of vitamin B.
Right.
What?
Put that in there. Yeah.
Oi, listen, it's all bollocks anyway. Listen, yeah. Cereal fundamentally doesn't make sense. What? To have at the start of the day.
Whoa, what the
we need
fuck?
We need a follow up podcast.
Okay, look, we need to talk.
Also,
we need to
cut. Agricultural revolution, we actually domesticated us, guys. We never domesticated wheat. I'm just throwing it out there. Sapiens, real book.
Thanks for coming in.
Sapiens is a great book.
It's a real book.
Yeah.
I read it.
I bought it.
I read two books. I read a third.
Plug one, plug two. Guest plugs for you.
Anyway, I think we need to close up the podcast. But listen, Jordan, you've been an amazing guest,
thank
man.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Best guest we've ever had?
Say so.
Okay. So, what are we got to look out for?
Oh, right, yeah. Just type Al the Native into things, and hopefully more things will come up when you type it over the course of the next couple of months.
All right, sweet. Okay, that's it. Thank you so much for coming down, guys. I appreciate it. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.